Welcome to Creating Sanctuary for Animals, a global interview series featuring 21 heroes who are saving animals' lives. I'm your host, Yolanda Calderon, and the hero I'm interviewing today is Mark Myers, who has been the Executive Director of Peaceful Valley Donkey Rescue, or PVDR, for the past two decades. Since his full-time involvement in PVDR, it has become the largest equine rescue in the world. When he's not out in the field rescuing donkeys, Mark is busy being an author, a photographer, and an award-winning filmmaker. Welcome, Mark. I am so glad you could be here.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
I'd like to start by asking you, why donkeys? I mean, I myself have always loved donkeys, and I want to rescue them too, but why did you pick them?
It's interesting. My wife and I had no background, no experience whatsoever when it came to donkeys. She bought one over the internet to be a friend for an old horse that she had. And this donkey jumps off the trailer. She couldn't have been but maybe 9 months old. And it was just like this big fluffy dog. And it just blew us away, nothing at all like horses. And just like anything else, once we had one, we noticed other donkeys. And what we found when it came to donkeys is nobody understood them. The veterinarians we talked to gave us mixed advice. They gave us more horse advice than anything. There was really no experts in nutrition for donkeys because it's totally different than a horse. And we just really came to realize just how underrepresented these animals are. And if you look at throughout society, it's always, you know, horses and donkeys. They're always just sort of the cousin, so to speak, that they're the afterthought. And we just saw that there was such a need that wasn't being filled. So we, you know, and a lot of it's just respect. I have a great deal of respect for these animals.
Right. And they're actually, like, they use them for trail riding. Like in the Grand Canyon, for example, I heard a long time ago they use them because they won't go to places that are dangerous. Like horses will go if you prod them, right? But donkeys are smarter or they have more of a sense. Can you explain that a little better?
Well, the behavioral key difference between horses and donkeys is horses have a flight mentality. So if they get spooked, they want to run away. Donkeys have a fight mentality. So if they get spooked, and let's just, as a for instance, because I used to pack mine in Death Valley, we'd be on the side of a cliff basically, and maybe the footing gets a little iffy and some rocks start to fall. The donkeys will freeze and assess the situation. They won't spook. They won't try to run away from the danger. They're much more calm and level-headed. Also, the physical differences is their eyes are set a little further back on the sides of their head so that they can actually watch all 4 feet as they're walking, and that makes them much more sure-footed than a horse.
Amazing. And why do donkeys need to be rescued?
Well, that's the big question. We had no idea what the need would be when we started our little donkey rescue in our backyard as a hobby. We thought it would be a fun way to bring up the kids. And it's just crazy the problems that are out there. There's my organization, we don't do owner surrenders. We don't buy animals from auction. Our work starts with a law enforcement agency. So typically it's an abuse, neglect, abandonment type case. And then we do larger cases of wild burrow rescue where they're under threat of destruction, whereas they have to be removed or they're going to be shot. So those are the cases that we deal with primarily. But now as we're moving into this global economy, the donkey skin trade in China is going through the roof. They're killing 4 million donkeys every year worldwide to fill that need. And they're decimating the populations in donkeys in a lot of the African nations. China used to have one of the largest, if not the largest, donkey herd, and they don't any longer. And so it's just a matter of time before they turn their sights in the Americas. South America is already exporting a lot of skins, but the Caribbean has a lot of unwanted donkeys in it. And then here in the United States, where we're dealing in thousands of wild burros, and our own BLM's advisory board suggested that they euthanize all the horses and donkeys that they have in storage. Well, it's just a matter of time before they put two and two together and say, well, geez, we don't have to kill these donkeys. We can ship them out and they can enter the skin trade and we can benefit from it. So there's a lot of problems that the donkeys are facing here just in the Americas.
Boy, I didn't realize that the skin trade was so was such a big business. What is it about the donkey skins that people want?
It is an ancient Chinese remedy. It supposedly cures everything from warts to cancer, and they boil down the hides. So in a lot of places, they'll also harvest the meat because the meat is consumed in China and other places. But here in our own United States, we don't have equine slaughter for the purpose of human consumption. And they didn't outlaw it. What they did is they just took away the funding for the USDA inspection, so therefore they couldn't sell the meat to eat. Well, if they're not eating the skins per se, what's going to stop them from harvesting those skins, which has the most value anyway, and shipping those to China, because all the reduction from the skin into the gelatin is all done in China. So it's a very real threat that could come to our shores.
Oh, my goodness. Wow, it's more serious than I thought. That's shocking. Could you tell us a little bit more about the BLM lands and why they are trying to remove the donkeys or the wild burros? Because burros are just wild donkeys, right?
That's correct. We use the term donkey for domestic and burro for wild. In the animal kingdom, there are no such animals. They're all equus asinus, and it's just simply the translations into the language over time. Donkey came from an Old English, dun meaning gray, key meaning small, so donkey. Burro is the Spanish word that came originally loosely translated from the Latin for little horse. And so that's just, so for us, it's easier to say that's a wild burro versus a domestic donkey, and it separates our programs.
Got it.
To your question
and
on the BLM.
Yes, and the BLM is the Bureau of Land Management. That's our government-owned or publicly-owned lands, right?
Yes. The Department of Interior is split in their land management between the Bureau of Land Management, National Park Service, and U.S. Fish and Wildlife. So they're all federal lands, public lands, but they all have a very different purpose. So the BLM lands, they have horses and burros on those lands, and they have a management program. Now, there's a whole argument as to whether or not they're doing it right, but they have their own roundup program, their own adoption program. National Park Service and U.S. Fish and Wildlife both have zero horse and burro policies. They don't want to see any horses and burros on their land. So we work with both agencies. Right now, it goes back to what's called Sanchez 74, which was a report written by a biologist named Sanchez that worked for the National Park Service, and his studies and finding the impact that the burros were having on Death Valley. So they used that as sort of an overall blanket just to remove all horses and burros from National Park Service and U.S. Fish and Wildlife. And a lot of it is because they claim they compete with native species.
Does it also have something to do with the ranching, that cattle ranchers want to lease those lands and graze their cattle on there?
This is where we don't get involved in a lot of this because it becomes very politic at this stage, and we are first and foremost a donkey rescue. We're not a donkey activist organization, and I make that differentiation because we're the ones that are in the trenches working with the locals, the local BLM field office, the National Park Service field office. We're actually the ones that pull up with our signs on side of the truck to help the donkeys. And so we need them to understand that we're only there for the donkeys. We're not there for political reasons. We're not there for – not our job. That's other people's job to argue those points. So I always like to say that. But when it comes to the BLM, and there's – I've read dozens of studies and books and on this very subject, and – it is influenced heavily by cattle grazing. That's a big industry. It's a big lobby. You have to keep in mind that the Secretary of Interior is a political appointee who is appointed by politicians. And so, yes, it is very politic. When they do a lot of their field studies, they'll weight the horses and burros heavier than they will with the cattle impact. So there's a lot of things like that that's going on. But again, we don't really, you know, there's a lot of groups that focus mainly just on that end of it, and more power to them. That's their end of this job. Our end is if the donkeys have to go, we want them to go safely, and we want to ensure that they're going to be well cared for the rest of their lives. So that's our part of it.
Got it, got it. And you made the distinction, when we first talked, you made the distinction between being a donkey rescue and being a donkey sanctuary. Could you talk about your involvement in being a rescue and a sanctuary?
Absolutely. A rescue is something that physically goes and removes an animal from a bad situation. And that bad situation can be any myriad of terrible things that we've seen. And it's the same across all types of animals. People do heinous things to animals, and unfortunately that's why we got to have animal rescues to try to counter that. So rescue is an action word. It means that you're actually physically removing things from danger. So here at Peaceful Valley, our goal is to put every single donkey we rescue into an adoptive home. We have a nationwide network of satellite facilities. We've got a really successful program. But at the end of the day, it's not realistic because a certain amount of the animals have medical conditions that need to be treated daily, weekly, monthly, whatever. So they have to stay here. So many of the donkeys come in pregnant, so we can't move them until they have their babies. The older donkeys. And then you get the ones that just don't want to be friendly. For us to adopt a donkey, it has to be friendly. We train them. We have a whole training staff. And so that friendliness is the key. And if that animal has been so poorly treated that it doesn't want to have human contact, then we took the commitment that we save that donkey. So the best we can do is put that animal on sanctuary. Right now we have just under 1,300 donkeys on sanctuary in two states, all through Texas and Louisiana. We have one gentleman whose full-time job is just to care for those donkeys. So he's doing regular visits, checking on the health. They get the exact same medical care that the donkeys here on the ranch get. They get the same deworming, vaccines, hoof turning, everything. The only difference is they get to spend 90% of their time out in the wild, and they think they're free. I mean, most of our sanctuaries are 500 acres, and they're usually several paddocks of 500, so we can rotate the donkeys around so they don't impact the grazing too much. But, 500 acres, that gives them a lot of wandering around room and lets them make their own decisions. And a lot of times we can go back a year or two later, reassess, and maybe bring those donkeys in for adoption because they've had time to just become a donkey again. So that's our sanctuary program. It's really successful. The donkeys do really well. We actually started originally because of cost. It's so much cheaper for us to put a donkey out on sanctuary than it is to put them in a dry lot where you have employees feeding and things like that.
Okay. Okay. So they're grazing and basically they're essentially wild.
Yes.
They just don't know it.
Exactly. They have a definite sense of freedom.
Yeah. And what would it take to be a satellite sanctuary for you guys?
Well, the satellite adoption program is people that take our donkeys into their homes, and they literally range from the Pacific Northwest to southern tip of Florida up into New England and all points in between. And they take our donkeys into their home, usually 6 to 10 at a time. Some of them take up to 20. And they're not a chapter. They're not a charter. They are Peaceful Valley Donkey Rescue. They operate under our procedures, our board of trustees, our executive staff. So they're just an extension of us with our rules, and they adopt donkeys locally into their community. And the thing about our adoption program is when we rescue a donkey, we own that donkey for life. And some people don't like that, but the reason we do it is we've been doing this long enough that people's lives change. They get job transfers. They get old. They have to move to town because of an illness. There's just so many things that can happen. And so instead of having to worry about, well, what am I going to do with my donkeys, you simply pick up the phone and we come and get them, bring them back in, and find another home for them. But we couldn't do that realistically in, say, Connecticut if we were based just here in Texas. It'd take 2.5 days to go pick up that one donkey. So with the satellite center, we're local. So if the Connecticut adoption needs to come back in, it comes right back into our Connecticut facility, gets reassessed, and moved right back out.
That's fantastic. That's a great program.
And I should add that we pay for the feed and medical and hoof trimming while the donkey is at the satellite adoption center. Now, some of the satellites pay those expenses themselves and then write that off as a donation to us. But some of them we do reimburse those. So there's no real out of pocket to be a satellite adoption center, and you're part of the family. We try to have an event every year where everybody gets together, and so the people from Florida can beat the people up in New England and all points in between.
And what kind of training do people need to start in a satellite adoption center?
When it comes to donkeys, we always prefer compassion over training, because donkeys are they're so much different. There's no such thing as a donkey training course out there, but there's a whole bunch of horse training courses. And if you consider yourself a horse trainer, you're going to be a poor example of a burro trainer, and that's just the reality. It's more like training a dog than it is training a horse. And so people don't really need training. They need compassion. If you have compassion in your heart, I can make you a donkey lover, and I can make you someone that can safely and easily handle donkeys so much easier than if you come in with preconceived notions of what you think should happen.
I completely believe you, because I saw some of the videos on your website, and you would definitely turn people into donkey lovers. I can totally see that. So, Mark, it sounds like, this is really hard work that you're doing, and you personally seem to have your hand in a lot of different things. And I'm wondering, when you think about all of the challenges that you have, what keeps you inspired when things start to get difficult running a rescue and a sanctuary?
I've always been a driven person with a strong work ethic. Amy and I were very successful in business because I think of those qualities we both had. And when we came into donkey rescue, like I said, it was just as a hobby. And once we saw the extent of the problem, because of my nature and personality, I wanted to fix it. I literally wanted to fix the problems I saw. And we have pretty much solved the vast majority of the domestic donkey problems in this country. We work with law enforcement now all across the country. So if they have a donkey-related incident, they know they can call us at any time. We're no more than 2 days' drive away. So when I see a problem, I want to solve it, and I saw that the donkey rescue issue was just untouched. There's a handful of donkey rescues in this country. I doubt if altogether they rescue more than 100 combined.
Mm-hmm.
We average 750 every year, year after year, and that's on an average year. We've done over 1,000 in some years. So we have literally branched out so that law enforcement knows how to get a hold of us. We work directly with Washington, D.C. for wild burro issues. We're doing projects now with private ranchers on donkeys that are coming up from Mexico into southern Arizona. So the reason I get up every morning is, number one, I got a really cool job. I'm going to spend all next week in my Jeep with two of my dogs taking pictures of wild burros on the Mojave Preserve and coming up with a capture plan out there. I've lectured everything from kindergartners all the way up to postgrads at Cornell University. I've written books. It's been such a rewarding job, but the most important thing is I really feel like we're making a difference. And I couldn't have said that maybe 10 years ago. I still felt there was more of the iceberg under the water than we knew. But now, after almost 20 years in this field, I think we're really solving it. To the effect, we're in the Caribbean now. I've got people in the Caribbean helping to solve the problems down there.
Wow, that is really inspiring to me, because when I first heard you talking, I thought, oh, this is so depressing. There's so much work to be done, but it sounds like you actually are making headway and you see your success. So important. Is there any piece of advice you'd like to give someone before they set out to do their own rescue and sanctuary?
Absolutely. And it's one that nobody wants to hear because it's very, very ugly. But that advice is that it is all about the money. And that is gospel truth. We care for anywhere between 2,000 and 3,000 donkeys in any given time across the country. My annual hay bill is $500,000. You can set your watch by that. My medical is usually around $250,000. Our sanctuary fees are about $300,000. And those are just the things to keep donkeys alive, and those donkeys expect it, as they should. But that is almost $1 million right there every year just to keep the donkeys alive that we already have, not to count the project money to go out and do these wild burro roundups, all the employees, the insurances, because, you know, we live in the modern times. You have to have all these insurances, and it goes on and on and on and on. And we have personally closed down over 20 donkey that were predominantly donkey rescues because they got in over their head. They took animals out of bad situations and then turned around and put them right back in because they couldn't afford to care for them. And so I would urge everybody to look at rescue. And anybody can rescue. Anybody can go and help a dog. That's still the act of rescue. But even that requires money. You have to buy a bowl and food. You have to have a place for it to sleep. There's always an expense when it comes to rescuing any animal. You're taking that responsibility. Now, I've taken probably more than my fair share of responsibility, but I look at this right now. We're getting ready for my next trustee meeting that happens in 2 weeks. And at this trustee meeting, I'm going to convince my trustees that we need to take over all wild burro projects across the board, even from the government, over the next 7 years. And it's a big, bold statement to say, hey, government, I want to take that over because I can do a better job. And the expense is going to be astronomical. But rescuing donkeys is not a public benefit. We're a charity. We should be a benefit to the public. It's a benefit to donkeys, okay, but it's not a benefit to the public. But what is a benefit to the public is the BLM spends more than half their budget on feeding the donkeys and horses that they have in storage. That's right. Ridiculous, to the point where their own advisory board wants to euthanize them. I can do better. Our adoption program Absolutely. Is better. Everything we do is better. But it's all about the money. I have to ensure that the money comes in, which is my primary job. But I have to keep finding and talking to people. And there are not donkey donors under every tree. Trust me. You pass the hat. You pass the hat for dogs and cats. People are going to give or not, but they're going to know what you're talking about. You pass the hat and say, let's raise the money for the donkeys. They laugh at you because they think you're joking, and you have to have a conversation. And by the time I'm done with the conversation, they're on board, but you've got to have the conversation. But, yes, as far as advice goes, always consider the financial aspect of what you're doing because that animal is going to depend on you.
Yeah. Well, I want you to have more of those donkey conversations, and I'm actually out there having them too. So I'm on your side.
Very good.
I have another question for you. I understand that you're working on a film right now. Could you tell us about that, and where will people be able to see that film?
Well, it's been a long time in planning. It kind of started back probably, I don't know, 15 years ago when I was first going out with my pack donkeys in Death Valley and encountering wild burros. And you see a lot of movies getting made about wild horses and the history of America and the Mustang and all this imagery. And the donkeys have always lost their place. It was the donkeys that were instrumental in building the railroads, the Spanish Trail, the Catholic missions. You know, that was all built on the back of donkeys. And so I've always wanted to do this film, and I was fortunate enough to cross paths with a very good cameraman. And I kind of introduced him to donkeys so that he fell in love, started taking him out with me into Death Valley to see the wild burros, and he sold. So we've storyboarded. We've already started interviews. Because of my connections with the Donkey Rescue, I'm able to talk to people that normally the federal government wouldn't allow to talk on camera, but because of my reputation that we're not activists, we simply are doing a film on the American wild burro. And it's really exciting. I would estimate spring of 2019 will be out for release. We've had some people from different film societies express interest that they want to feature it. So we don't know where all it's going to be put out right now. we've had some interest from some of the bigger companies, you know, with all the streaming stuff that's out there now. There's just so many venues. So, but it's very exciting. It's going to be very well done. We're actually shooting it in 4K, which is sort of an IMAX type quality.
Fabulous. That sounds so amazing, and I can't wait to see it. And I wish you the best of luck with it. Mark, thank you so much for your time. And I also want to thank our listeners, and I want to encourage them to go to your website and watch the beautiful videos that you have there. They are really educational and heartwarming. And I think I actually started crying when I watched one of them, in a good way, though, in a good way, though. So I'm looking forward to talking to you all again soon. Bye-bye for now.